negativity is often heard from society. With conviction they preach, and even knowing of whom they speak, I guess it's each to their own. Those who want to will know. I guess it's each to their own. It's from the top, the views are old.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Ahmed Rahab, who is an American Muslim activist and writer with a focus on contemporary social issues, including civil rights, media relations, and relations between Islam and the West. He is currently the executive director of the Chicago Office of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim civil liberties and advocacy group. In 2011, he was appointed by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn as an advisor to the governor via the newly formed Illinois Muslim Advisory Council. He recently organized the public education campaign My Jihad, which seeks to share the proper meaning of the word jihad as believed and practiced by the majority of Muslims. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ahmed Rahab.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about your brainchild here. I was always struck, Ahmed, I mean, I guess it was a terrible historical irony that when 9/11 happened, the presidents of the United States were Dick Cheney and George W. Bush, and they could not have gotten off on the wrong foot on just about every aspect of the so-called war on terror. And it's always struck me as being extraordinary that the word jihadis has been chosen to describe people like bin Laden, when in fact the word criminal would have been much more appropriate, rather than dignifying them with a word that means one who's on a spiritual struggle.
That is correct. And if you think about it, language is the building block of ideas, and it's the building block of discourse. And if you have the incorrect language, the incorrect words to denote certain concepts, you will have the wrong discourse and the wrong ideas. And so that's why this notion, this whole program, excuse me, came to mind. It is reclaiming the original and true meaning of the word jihad, which is an Arabic word and an Islamic concept, not redefining it, as some have incorrectly stated. I'm not here to say, oh, I think jihad should mean X, Y, Z, and introduce a new meaning. Rather, I'm here to say it has always meant for us, not just in terms of our understanding, but in terms of our practice, our daily living. Jihad has been a struggle to get to a better place. Simply put, when confronted between two choices, an easy choice and the right choice, it is mustering the courage and the confidence and the inner strength to make the right choice. That is what jihad is, and dealing with the difficulty that comes with that. That struggle is jihad, and not terrorism, and not attacking civilians. That is counter to the spirit of jihad.
So as I was saying, Ahmed, obviously we've been wrong-footed from day one with this war on terror, and of course the Iraq War will go down in history as one of the greatest blunders. Certainly, it was described at the time by the Israeli military historian Martin van Creewald as the worst strategic blunder since Emperor Augustus invaded Germany in 9 A.D. So we've had this footprint in the Arab world that's done nothing but cause anti-Americanism. So I think that the jury is certainly back in on the notion that the response to 9/11 was far more damaging than 9/11 itself. And of course, recently, since the shooting of these schoolchildren in Newtown, I was reading somewhere about the statistics of how many thousands and thousands of Americans who've been killed by guns here in the United States since 9/11, not to belittle the 3,000 deaths on 9/11. So, I mean, what you're doing now is welcome, but it's taken a while, hasn't it? I mean, come on.
Well, to be frank with you, the problem goes way back, way before 9/11 or the response to it. And I place the blame on two sides. The primary side that I blame are the actual Muslim extremists themselves, who started by misdefining and misattributing the concept of jihad. They would engage in whatever narrow political work agenda that they had. They engaged in certain acts of violence that, in my opinion, and the opinion of many Muslim jurists, ran contrary to the very spirit of Islam, such as the targeting of civilians. 9/11 is just one case in point, but any act of terrorism that targets civilians is considered contrary to the Islamic spirit itself and cannot be deemed jihad or even an Islamic act to begin with. So these Muslim radicals, these Muslim extremists, we're reclaiming jihad and that term from them. But also on the other side, we're talking about the anti-Muslim extremists, those who jump quickly on the fact that these individuals are malpracticing Islam, for a lack of better terms, and point to them and say, no, these are the true representatives of Islam. This is truly Islam. Everybody should do as they do to be a true Muslim, and those who don't simply don't know their religion. And so basically what you find here, while these two extremists come from the opposite end of the spectrum, they're essentially concentric in their worldview, in their definition of jihad, that it's bloody, that it's violent, that it, you know, in the notion that there is some kind of clash of civilizations between the so-called Islam, you know, Islamdom or the Islamic world and the so-called West, and that it's irrefutable and irreversible. And they need each other to survive. The Muslim radicals point to the anti-Muslim radicals and say, look, the West hates us. They'll never like us. They always hate Islam. It's in their blood. It's in their history. It's in their legacy. We're at war forever. And the anti-Muslims will point to these Muslim radicals and say, we told you so. They're violent. They're heathens. They're savages, et cetera, et cetera. And we, the majority, myself, yourself, our friends and families included, and your listeners, are stuck in the middle between these two extremes who have been hijacking the discourse. And what this campaign is about reclaiming not only the term jihad, but the discourse itself, beginning with one of the most taboo and misdefined and misattributed terms. But we hope that it goes further into a larger movement that brings back the helm of the conversation to those who know how to create rational space. We can differ, we can disagree, but I'm sick and tired of having the conversation on Islam, you know, be whittled down to what is offensive to my very intelligence, that insults my intelligence, this dumbing down of the discourse, that Islam is somehow about, you know, blowing yourself up and getting 72 virgins in heaven, and if you make a mistake, you cut your hand, and you marry, you know, 9 wives, and, you know, they stone people. This caricature that we, you know, Aladdin, you know, the Disney movie, you know, it's offensive. And, you know, Islamophobia is not offensive to me, and I'll shut up after this. It's not offensive to me because it's a form of racism or bigotry, and I happen to be a Muslim, although that's part of the problem. But it's actually offensive to me because it's insulting to my intelligence, and I happen to be a creature of intelligence. It's just dumb.
Again, I'm speaking with Ahmed Rahab, who is an American Muslim activist and writer with a focus on contemporary social issues, including civil rights, media relations, and relations between Islam and the West. He's currently the executive director of the Chicago Office of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim civil liberties and advocacy group. In 2011, he was appointed by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn as an advisor to the governor via the newly formed Illinois Muslim Advisory Council, and he recently organized the public education campaign My Jihad, which seeks to share the proper meaning of the word jihad as believed and practiced by the majority of Muslims. So your point's well taken that there's a symbiosis between the Muslim extremists and anti-Muslim extremists, and they both feed each other. But there are an estimated 7 to 8 million Muslims here in the United States. And it's always struck me that, just going back again to the wrong-footed Bush-Cheney or Cheney-Bush war on terror, that we, no Christian or Jew can dissuade a young Islamist from taking a more radical path. The only person that could dissuade a young Islamist would be a moderate Islamist, for the want of a better description. And I've never understood why here in the United States we didn't make it our number one national security priority to welcome American Muslims, to advertise how America integrates its Muslim populations, rather than this insane demonization that's happening with the largely with the sort of right wing ignoramuses in various state legislatures, like I believe in Kansas and states like that, where they have banned Sharia law when there's no such suggestion anywhere on the planet that Sharia law is about to be invoked in Kansas.
Because for some odd reason, you know, we haplessly and inadvertently decided to play the part assigned to us by bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. See, it wasn't about taking down a couple of buildings or taking away, you know, hundreds of lives, as evil and as powerful as that is and hurtful as that is. That wasn't the ultimate goal of Al-Qaeda. They know they can't win a war against 350 million people with tens of thousands of skyscrapers and high-rises and, you know, buildings in 50 states with billions and trillions of dollars by just taking down, you know, two or three or four buildings and killing 3,000 people. That's not going to ultimately destroy America. They know that. What they wanted to do, the entire idea and plan behind the Al-Qaeda action, was to create enough fear inside the hearts of Americans, primarily the government and the leaders of America, not just the political leaders, but the opinion leaders, the media leaders, the education leaders, the community and faith leaders, so that they would become disrupted from their own value system and become self-defeating and become self-collapsing. They wanted to ignite an implosion. They didn't want to take us down with an explosion. The explosion was simply the ignition from which they hoped we would self-ignite. And we began on that path. And the first thing we did on that path was to begin to chisel away at that which makes us strong and unique and powerful, and that is our own laws, our civil rights, our due process. When we began to whittle away at that, we became weaker, and we became, we began a process of self-implosion. Because if we don't have a constitution that respects the rights of all Americans, and you don't have the home of the free, home of the brave, then what's the point of all the songs and the, you know, and all the paraphernalia, right? I mean, that's what we celebrate, and they're taking that away from us, but causing us to do it ourselves. And all it took was to instigate enough fear. And it was as if Bush had accepted the position or the role assigned to him, explicitly so, as did Cheney, because every time they came on television for a good number of years, they were talking about terrorism, this terrorism, that, the terrorists, the terrorists, the terrorists. And people, at one point in time, you know, a lot of us forget, Ian, but I have a memory, a good memory. You know, the duct tape days. Remember those days? Duct tape. People were duct taping their windows.
All right.
You know, they were afraid of these attacks, and they were filling their pantries with dry food, and they were getting ready for the next, you know, alien invasion. And we were just like a stampede. It was like we're stampeding all over our values and our principles and our courage and our vision for what we wanted to do and live. And we began, you know, the canary in the coal mine with the Muslim community.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time here. I want to talk to you about your campaign. With now you've got billboards up in subways and buses in Chicago, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., but we've run out of time, and I thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Ahmed Rahab, who is an American Muslim activist and writer who focuses on contemporary social issues, including civil rights, media relations, and relations between Islam and the West. He is currently the executive director of the Chicago Office of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the nation's largest Muslim civil liberties and advocacy group. In 2011, he was appointed by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn as an advisor to the governor via the newly formed Illinois Muslim Advisory Council. He recently organized the public education campaign My Jihad, which seeks to share the proper meaning of the word jihad as believed and practiced by the majority of Muslims. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Sing something to me. An angel song about the home of the
fire.